This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Mariana and Pam. Kermit's in the house.
Hi, nice to see you.
I'm pretty sure you told me last week that you were going to the National Fairs. I checked on some results Saturday afternoon and I didn't see your name.
Well, it's a bit of a sad tale. It was Thursday and I was getting organised to go up there. My partner rang me and said, hey, I've just seen the road to New Plymouth is closed on Sunday night. I don't know how many of you have been to New Plymouth, but you go over this torturous road over Mount Messenger, which is going to be bypassed in a couple of years. It was shut from 8 p.m. and there was no way we were going to be at Mount Messenger by 8 p.m. So my partner, Russell Wilson, I was looking forward to playing with. He had to be back in town first thing Monday, so we couldn't stay another night. So that was us done.
While we're talking about it, listeners, the National Peers held in Auckland face-to-face. They had some pretty good numbers, didn't they?
Yeah, it's good to see.
So the 20A event was taken out by Sam and Joe Simpson from Tauranga. Brian Mace, Malcolm Mayer were second, and Jeremy Fraser Hoskins with Moss Wiley from down south were third.
Oh, congratulations to those people. And I hope everyone had a good time.
They were playing it barometer style. That's always exciting. You like barometer? Oh, mind you, doesn't matter what style you're talking about, do you? Because you don't look at the scores.
That is quite true. I try really hard not to look at the scores. It's a bit hard when you're up there sometimes, especially if you're doing okay. People come to your table and go, oh, that was a good round. No, I don't tend to look at the scores. I don't know. I guess I'm just weird. I don't think it helps me play the next boards. I just like to play each board as it comes.
Oh, funny. One of the things I was doing during the week was looking at ways that people might want to improve their play, maybe beginner, intermediate. And I was looking on Bridge Winners and they couldn't recommend a book, but they did say try BBO Bridge Master.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think Bridge Master is a great little tool. One great thing about it is it's completely free. You go into BBO and it's in the practice section, I think, and it's got 5 levels of difficulty. The way it works is there's a problem on the hand, obviously, and you have to play it technically correct. So if you don't play it technically correct, then you will always go down. For instance, if there's 2 ways to take a finesse and the first thing you do is take a finesse one way, it will lose. So you might think, okay, well, I'll go back and take the finesse another way. It will also lose because it wants you to work out what is the most percentage play on taking that finesse. It doesn't want you to stab wildly.
Right. So okay.
The level one hands, they're not really straightforward and you're going to have to think. But the beauty of it is that at any time you can click on an explanation about why you should do what you should do and you can replay the hand. So there's 5 levels. I would say level 5, which is world class, they're pretty hard. And I would say even level 3. So level 3... part of the problem with tricky bridge hands is spotting the problem at the table. So when you go to Bridge Master, you know there's a problem with the hand and you're on the lookout for it. I think that doing these Bridge Master hands, it's a good exercise on technical play, but it helps you to recognise situations when you're at the table.
Okay.
Yeah, that used to be years ago, because it's been around for a while. I used to do that a lot right before a big event, just to get my brain thinking in the right way. I'd say, you know, even the level one hands have a challenge in them. You still have to play them technically correctly. What a great tool that is.
Yeah, there you go, listeners. Now, there was a comment that there was a book about play problems, and this book they recommended by Patrick O'Connor, and it's called A First Book of Bridge Problems.
Right.
But I haven't seen it, haven't heard of it. Then they put out another book, and it was cleverly entitled, and it was called A Second Book of Bridget Problem.
Oh, I wonder what they're going to call the next one.
Yeah, I know. Heads up for that. Anyway, you do some coaching about bridge.
Yep.
So, what would be the difference when you're hosting a one-on-one session?
Oh, well, I really enjoy the one-on-one sessions because people can ask me anything about bridge. Different people want different things from the sessions. I've got someone who just wants to do declare a play each week and talk through the play of the hand. I've got someone who wants to talk through defence every week, and we just defend every time, but we talk through it. And some people, they like to ask about results that they've had. Because it's great these days, isn't it? You can just go back and look up the hands and look at the result you got on the hand. Or if you're playing a real bridge tournament, well, we can actually see bid by bid, card by card. If you're a member of a bridge club, there's lots and lots of helpful people at the bridge club, which is great. It's a real community thing. But you often get conflicting advice from different people. And I'm sorry to say this, you often get quite bad advice from people. It's good for you to be able to talk through hands with a fairly seasoned player. I do that quite a lot. For some people, we talk about strategies on how to concentrate. I get a lot of people saying that they feel very self-conscious when they're playing, especially in declare a play, and they rush in and they don't really think about what they're doing because they feel quite self-conscious. And we talk through that and just have strategies for planning the play and that kind of thing. We talk a lot about technical things, but the non-technical things in bridge are also highly important, like how to perform our best, how to recover when we've had a bad board. Because I don't know about you, but it's pretty common that if you have a bad board, you follow it up by at least one more. They're fabulous individual sessions because it just can take any direction that the player wants to. We can cover anything, and they don't have to feel self-conscious about asking questions because it's just being there. That's great. Speaking of non-technical things, we're talking about bridge books as well. I bought a book a couple of years ago that I thought was really interesting. It's called Perform Under Pressure. And it's written by someone who helped the All Blacks quite a lot, Kerry Evans, Dr. Kerry Evans. And it talks about strategies for playing your best in any sport. And I thought some of the techniques that he recommended was very applicable to bridge. If you're a fan of Richie McCaw, he's got a recommendation on the front that says simple but powerful. So maybe branch out from just reading technique books and think about psychology books as well.
I read a book where it must have been something similar to what you were, because Richie McCaw, maybe it was Richie McCaw's book, always saying that in the game you had to recognize when you were in the red zone, things weren't going quite your way and something had to change and you had to stop and recognize it and then say, okay, and probably do a plan B, you know, what's going to happen here? And they do that all the time now. You can hear them on the commentary. It's like, you know, the All Blacks have to do something different now, and then all of a sudden they change. I didn't really think that that would relate to bridge, but I guess it does.
Well, that red zone thing, sometimes you can play and you know where every card is, you feel omnipotent. And sometimes you really don't. It's like wading through knee-deep mud and being able to cope with both those situations. And I tell you what, partnerships, oh, wow. Like, partnerships are a huge part of that and how you support each other through the good. It's easy to be all cheery when things are going good. It's less easy to be all cheery when things are not and being philosophical about a bad result.
There was a hand recently at the Bridge Club last week. We opened and then opponent came in with a one no trump, immediate overcall. And my partner passed, opposition's partner passed, and away we went. So Dummy goes down, and there's this beautiful nine count on the
Oh,
table.
opposite a one no trump overcall.
Opposite of one no trump overcall. And we
Right.
were playing and playing along. And then, of course, they made heaps tricks. And Dummy says, "Oh, maybe I should have invited." And I says, "Well, did you count? What did you think when they overcalled one no trump?" He says, "Oh, I knew exactly what partner had." And I thought, "Yep, that'll do us," and laid his cards down. And of course, partner had a 17 count. Is it a natural default that you always think, "Oh, partner's only got 15"? Why don't you think maybe partner's got 17? "Oh, I don't
Well,
know. I
you can
should have."
just ask them. You can put two no trumps.
Yeah. Well, that's it. It's like, oh, I
You can
was too scared.
consult.
Yeah, I was too scared in case they had minimum. And I was, doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah,
They do. They just forget to count.
and also consulting partners a good idea in the auctions. That person with the nine count didn't actually have to decide for them. They could ask partner, they could consult.
I'm in if you're in, and
Yeah.
away they would have been. Like, you can't say anything unless they open it up. That is hard at the table, you know. When you were saying earlier that people try to give advice, I try not to say anything unless somebody says something. You know, I try
Oh,
not to be the
I feel
first
quite
one to
strongly
speak.
about that, Mariana. I think, I'll come back to this point about getting a lot of conflicting advice at the Bridge Club. My personal belief is that when people come along to play at the club, they should be left alone to play the game in however style they want, as long as they're following the rules, of course. They shouldn't be given advice unless they specifically ask for it. And I tell you why, I think it's pretty intimidating. If you're coming along and you're a newish bridge player or any level of bridge player, and you're just doing your thing and then you're going to get critiqued at the end of it, I don't think that should be happening. Sure, support players, yes, support players provide improver sessions or have they can ask someone whatever. But do not feel quite strongly that you should not be offering advice. And some of it I hear is pretty bad anyway, but that's just an aside. Just leave people to play their game. If they're playing what you consider as badly, well, that's their business, right?
True. That is right.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Hey, Judge Julie, it's nice to have you back in NZ.
It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, nice weather for you.
Yeah, no, it is pretty good. So it certainly was warm in Buenos Aires,
Yeah.
but it's nice coming back home.
How was your trip?
Oh, it was great. We all shared the same Airbnb. It was really, really good. The weather was good. Did a lot of walking to the venue and that. We came back, we arrived Saturday morning. The other stayed a wee bit longer to do some other things. Barry and Jenny are back today.
Yeah, sometime today.
And Liz and Blair are back a wee bit later. It was wonderful.
Fantastic result.
Yeah, we're really pleased with that. Even better because when we got knocked out, at least it was by the team that won.
What more could you ask for?
Well, we're going to get knocked out, absolutely. Most of the people were really, really good. Always there's some people that are a bit different. In general, really, really nice. It was just a really good experience. The bridge was good, and Buenos Aires is beautiful.
Really?
Huge city and music. I said, I'll come home. We were in Recoletos, a bit touristy. Saxophone, violin, the music was wonderful.
Now tell me, did you get Patrick to tango?
No, we didn't. Didn't actually get to do tango at all. We looked at it and we certainly ate steak.
Awesome. That's good.
It was actually just really enjoyable. When we stopped playing, it was a really relaxing holiday as well.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, tell me, we understand that Morocco got kicked out or
Oh,
expelled.
yeah, the rules were really clear. The thing about cell phones, there were cameras, there were penalties for using cell phones. I think when the phones were ringing in the room, it got worse. We didn't hear anything. There was a lot of comments about how extreme it was. On the other hand, really, really clear. And all you had to do was turn your cell phone off and they had a little pouch on your side of the screen where you could put the cell phone into that. You didn't have to leave it with anyone. You could have it where you were the whole time. You just had to turn it off. I know some people have problems with turning things off. I certainly have problems with my watch and my phone trying to find it and making a lot of noise. But when the phone's actually turned off, that doesn't happen. Same with watches. They were the same as the phones. I mean, you just can't have things making noises or doing anything.
Right.
I can understand that there were some issues around with some people. From the point of view of knowing what would happen, I think that the organisers had certainly made that clear about a no tolerance attitude towards them.
Wow.
You might not like it. I mean, we have things in New Zealand, instant penalties. We've actually had things with slow play, and possibly where, if you look at the regulations for the more major events, there are some automatic things that happen that are written into the regulations that are not discretionary by the directors.
Mm.
They are absolutely, this is what you have to do. So
right.
Maybe they'll go and have a rethink about what you do and what you don't do. Instances in mind sports and issues with phones and devices that come through with cheating.
I just can't understand it. When you've actually got a bag at the table and you can't follow that rule, how ridiculous is that?
A really good chess player recently that was kicked out of an event because he had a cell phone on. He knew what the rules were.
Oh.
And he was a good player. It's not necessary that people are being accused of doing anything untoward. The point is that this is what the regulations are.
Yeah, if, that's right.
If people have good ideas about how they want to make them changed, then I'm sure they can represent very clearly to organisers suggestions that they would like to make. Yeah.
So does the person get expelled or the whole team goes?
I really don't know what the situation was.
Wow, I would hate to be the one that had my cell phone on if the whole team went out.
Yeah, things about warnings. There were some situations where it didn't seem clear that there had been penalties applied or things. I don't know the exact situation. I have to wait for the information to be made available. All we knew was that three, four teams all of a sudden had issues about.
Oh. Anyway, Judge Julie, I have a question for you.
Excellent. What a surprise.
What a surprise. Yeah, I have come armed for you. So we're at the table playing, and it's my partner's turn to play to the card that's been led.
Yep.
And for some reason, he manages to pull out two cards and they fall on the table. Now, neither of these cards are actually in the suit that was being led.
Yep.
What happens then?
Okay, so first of all, I am assuming he didn't have the suit that was being led, right?
Right.
So when the cards came out, they were intending to play one rather than another, and two came out together.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So it happens not hugely often, but it certainly happens reasonably regularly at times. It is quite simple. If the two cards are not a 10 or higher, then we'll start there. The one that wasn't intended becomes a minor penalty card, which for most of us is a major nuisance. The director will normally say, what card was it that you were intending to play? That is the card that is played. Your opponents don't get to tell you what to do in these situations.
Okay.
The director will say, which one did you intend to play? And you will say, I intended to play this one. So that is a card that is played. And the other one is what we call a minor penalty card. Now, a minor penalty card, there are no lead penalties attached. It stays on the table. It has to be played when you are playing that suit and playing a card that is less than an honour. So if he said that three of clubs came out accidentally and is sitting there on the table, it stays there. When he comes to play a club, if he's going to play a low club, a club less than a 10, then that is the card he has to play. All right. Apart from that, there is no restriction at all around this. As I said, they're a major nuisance because you've got to hang around to make sure that people don't do anything silly. All right. Otherwise, they end up with a major penalty card, which is a wee bit different. Now, if one of the cards is a 10 or higher, if it's not the card that you intended to play, that will become a major penalty card.
Right.
So different circumstances and different things will make a difference. If something was being played deliberately and then you changed your mind midstream, and it ended up, so it was deliberately put on the table, that would also be a major penalty card. A minor penalty card is one that is played accidentally, not intended to be played, and sort of falls out of your hand, as happens when you're trying to pull a card out sometime, and you end up with two on the table, all right?
Okay.
As with all things, call the director, because one of the interesting things we get when people say, blah, 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 this happened, and the director made a completely wrong ruling because this is what you said would happen. With a bit of investigation, sometimes we find out, particularly around revokes and things like that, that the situation was a little bit different. And sometimes a little bit different is a big change in what happens next. Always call the director to the table. Patrick and I get, why are you calling the director? And that's because the first law that you really learn is call the director to the table. And so that's what we do.
While you were over in Buenos Aires, how many times did you guys call the director?
Not very often.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah, most of it was pretty straightforward. There were things about playing a complex system. There was some stuff that gets a bit annoying sometimes, but some of it is stress. I mean, when you represent, if you're playing the interprovincials coming up November, I think they are they? Or are they?
Yep, they're a few weeks away.
Yeah. When you come to play those, it's amazing that just that little bit of difference in that you are not playing just for yourself, you are playing representing a bigger group of people. It just adds a layer of stress onto the
And
I mean, I know the rules around a lot of things here, and I regretted some of the time that I didn't actually do things that were more strict about what should and shouldn't happen, because often when you get upset, it's because you should have done something and you didn't do it at the time.
Yeah.
Really annoyed with yourself, right?
Well, I'm pleased that you had a fantastic trip.
Yeah, no, it was. It was really good. The weather was great. Well, thunderstorms every now and then, the weather pattern that they have. But generally, a little bit of rain most of the time, very warm. Food was excellent. And our doorman guy at the Airbnb was really, really helpful.
Nice.
Most people were very helpful once we got sort of beyond the language barrier.
Hey, did you go and kibitz any games?
No, we didn't. We watched some stuff online when it was happening. A lot of it is about playing and then resting.
Yes.
And that builds up. I mean, if you're doing anything for a long period, it is surprising how fatigue builds. So it's really about relaxing when you can.
Yeah.
And paying full attention when you're playing.
Yeah. So you waited to sightsee after the event. Barry did say that him and Patrick were hopping on and hopping off at one stage.
On Monday, we went on a hop on, hop off bus. Absolutely bucketing.
I had
a raincoat. We had one umbrella. There were four of us. Bus ride, the bus wasn't that full. And we were just going around and looking. When we got off at the Caminita, which is a really colourful street of buildings and things, we got a lot about the history and a lot about stuff that we were seeing.
Yeah, they're cool, really those cool events, aren't they?
Yeah. Went into a more Galleria Pacifica, just frescoes in the ceiling, just massive converted, big, big area, and just gorgeous. Before we started play, we went to the bookshop, which was also a theatre that had been. It's just an amazing thing. Just beautiful. And population, I mean, 17 million people, five lanes of one-way traffic. And we are talking about being in the city. We're not talking about the motorway here.
Five lanes, well.
17 million people, apparently. The mind boggles.
It does. Well, I'm super pleased and glad that you guys are home.
Yep.
Everybody's safe and sound. That's always a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone was really good, helpful, and the New Zealand teams were supportive. It was just very good.
Lovely. All righty then. We'll catch you next week.
Okay.
Thank you. See you. So this week, what have you got planned for this week?
Well, haven't got any bridge lined up now until the interprovincials, which is a couple of weeks away. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. CD, you've got a pretty fun open team. It'll be great. I'm looking forward to going down to Wellington. I quite liked it when it was online, but I'm looking forward to going down to Wellington to play. So,
to play,
pros and cons.
The weekend just gone at New Plymouth. They had the Revital Rural Anniversary 8B Pairs.
And I saw Hara did very well. And I'd like to say a big congratulations to Martin Berry and Justine Hart because they took out the top spot. Well done,
awesome.
You. And in third place was our dear Zarius playing with her mum, Amanda. And it was great to see them playing together and doing so well. So congratulations, Hauora. Well done.
Nice. And just because they're stuck in the middle, our runner-up to that event was Charles Kerr and Colin Carrier.
Yeah, I think that was probably the first time they'd played together. So good on them. Interestingly, that anniversary tournament, none of those three pairs would have made it onto any trophy because there are three trophies for that tournament and they're only for New Plymouth players. And there is, I think I've got this right, there's one for the A grade combination, B grade combination, and the C grade combination. And they are named after John Martin.
Yep.
And don't know if how many people will remember John, but I remember him very, very fondly because he used to play with Colin Carrier. He was a very good player and he took some improver lessons. And my second year of playing, I think it was,
yep,
I went along to one of John's improver things and he was talking about the odds, you know,
yep.
the odds of suit breaking and suit combinations and stuff. I've got a maths background, so this really took, you know, really,
yeah,
really interested
that
me.
Well with you, yeah.
Yeah, and he probably saw, I mean, I was fairly young back then, and he probably saw this young player whose eyes lit up talking about the odds. He came and asked me to play with him after that and actually coached four of us for a wee while. That was very cool, and sadly, John died, I think he was only 53 following heart problems. So it's a very special trophy at our club. And
right.
So
well, I see probably Dean. Does it drop down at all?
Yeah.
Okay,
the top,
so it looks like Dean
one.
Skelton and Joan Smith would have picked up one of them.
Oh,
And
that's great.
I actually caught up with Dean just recently at the Waitomo Restricted. They made the trek all the way.
Yeah.
G'day, Dean. Nice to see you got some silverware. Next week, maybe our last one, we should get a trio going. We can gang up on Barry.
He'll have lots of stories, and I'm dying to hear about his adventures. It's just such a fantastic experience.
Okay, Chicky, well, sorry that the blimmin' country decided to fix up the roads over Mount Messenger.
Yeah, it was a bit disappointing.
We'll see you soon.
Okay, nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
Take care, everybody.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring Bridge from beginner to international, nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.